بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I am going to talk today about something that I'm literally going to read out what my very dear friend and brother Harun Mahipochi sent me from South Africa. The title of it is called Turned Down Blank Check to Speak on Shabbos. The tagline is, there are very few South African businessmen, and I can say any businessman, who would turn down Microsoft founder Bill Gates, even if it is to ensure that they keep Shabbos. Shabbos is the Jewish Sabbath. But Kiwi Bernard, son of the late great rabbi of Oxford Shul in Killarney, Rabbi Nachman Bernard, did just that. Bernard famously refused to give the opening speech at a conference of Microsoft executives, despite Bill Gates offering him a blank check, because it meant that he would have to do it on Shabbat. Shabbat is Saturday, when Orthodox Jews do not do any work, they don't speak, they don't do any activity of any kind. When Bernard refused, Gates apparently said, that's what happens when you have something that money can't buy. Gates then rescheduled this conference, which had been 18 months in the planning. Relating the incident in a recent interview, Gates said, there are some things that just cannot be bought with money. I guess Shabbat is one of them. Just imagine for yourself the effect of one man's decision to follow his religion with confidence. Imagine what the effect of that is on somebody like Bill Gates and on all that comes out of that. Then I continue. Bernard learned his love of Judaism as well as his oratory ability and his love of animals and the bush from his father. Despite Bernard having made his fortune in the diamond industry, it is the latter two that have built his reputation as one of the top 10 keynote speakers in the world. And then the article continues with his work and how he moved to the United States. He now lives in Atlanta. And so on and so forth. But one thing which struck me, one single line in this wonderful narrative that struck me was Bernard saying, our lives are a revelation of Hashem's will. Our dates are from his calendar, not ours. Now, Hashem is the what the Orthodox Jews, it's their name for God. It's their name for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They call him Hashem. The interesting thing is that in this is when they call Hashem. The interesting thing is that when they write it, they don't write Hashem, or they don't write God. They write G-D. Now that's very interesting. And when I first saw that, I've seen this many times before, but when I first had the opportunity to check this out with another friend of mine who's a practicing Orthodox Jew, I asked him this question, and he explained to me that Orthodox Jews, they consider the name of God, which is Hashem, in their theology, to be so sacred that they do not take the name of God in normal, ordinary conversation. So, and also they don't write G-O-D, because G-O-D is either God generic, or it is God as in Christian theology. So they say, no, our concept is very different, because the Jews also do not worship, they don't join partners in their worship of God. So they say we don't want to take the name itself because of adab, because of respect, and we don't want to use a term which is used by somebody else, which has its own theological and other connotations. So they write G-D. So it is God, but without the O. So it's very typical, and it is exclusive to the Jewish people. Now, that I thought that's a very interesting thing that I also wanted to share with you. And my point is, he says, and this is this beautiful quote of Barnard. He says that our lives are a revelation of the timetable of, he said, Hashem, and I'm saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is his dates which work, not ours. Now imagine this whole attitude towards life, that my life is a manifestation of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, because this man believes that, he can turn down a blank check from the likes of Bill Gates. Now, they asked him, he does a lot of keynote speaking, and obviously he gets paid some insane amounts of money. He does about 40 per year, which is a lot of talking, if you ask me. And he said that some of them I cannot do because the dates are on Shabbat. He says it is a cost, but it comes with the territory. Meaning that if this is what I want to believe, if I want to believe in my religion, then there is a price to pay, and I'm happy to pay that price. My brothers and sisters, seriously, I'm saying this to you, that think about this and say, what is your and my attitude towards our religion? Right? Everyone believes that their religion is the best, and they believe that their religion is the truth, and so on and so forth, obviously. The point is that what are we willing to put behind this belief of ours? If I believe my religion is the truth, then am I willing to practice that with confidence or not? Or am I going to be hiding under some table or something, being apologetic about Islam, being apologetic? I mean, when I'm saying confidence, I don't mean in somebody's face, and I don't mean being over the top, aggressive. No, I'm saying with confidence, with beauty, with harmony, with practicing it in a way which is beautiful and pleasant, right? This is the point of the whole thing. Now the thing is, here is an example, and I thought let me share it with you, and I'm asking Umair to send you the there's one page PDF. It's called Lepodology. That's what Kiwi Barnard invented as a philosophy for succeeding in business, which is his take on the strategy of the leopard in hunting. All of those are different things, but my point is that, so Umair is going to send you that, so you can read the little narrative as well. Seriously, my brothers and sisters, sit down, read it, and think about this and say, here is somebody who's doing it. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth. I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haq. I believe that this religion of mine, Islam, has been brought to me by Allah, by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in this haq. Now, am I willing to put my time and energy and my money and my talent behind this? Am I going to practice Islam with confidence? Or am I still going to be stuck in whether I must shave my beard or not shave my beard, whether I must wear a hijab or not wear a hijab? I mean, subhanAllah, ajeeb. If we really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we really love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you really need to have so much of so-called motivation and inspiration and pushing in order to display the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I mean, what kind of a shameful attitude is that? Right? Somebody needs to tell me not to shave my beard. Somebody needs to tell me to wear a hijab. Somebody needs to tell me to pray on time. Do I really believe in salah? Do I really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I really believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what he does? This is a man here who's saying that our lives are a revelation of the dates of Hashem, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He said, my life runs according to how my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu wants it to run. This is what this man is saying. Subhanallah, ajeeb, ajeeb, ajeeb. No, really, I mean, I don't know what to say. But I think I've said enough. So please, my brothers and sisters, let us get our act together. Let's stop living in fear and like an apology. And let us take lessons from others, whoever they might be, and live our lives with beauty, with harmony, with confidence, with strength, with power, and without apologizing to anybody for this. Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. This is the greatest blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. I'm an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will do my best to look like him, to walk like him, to talk like him, to behave like him, to deal like him, like he used to deal. And this is why, how I want to live. And my life is and should be a reflection of the glory and magnificence and what my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu wants for me. And this should be revealed to me and this should be in front of me. And I am just a spectator. I'm saying, Alhamdulillah, this is what you chose for me. This is what you chose for me. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. It's not what I am begging for. It's not what I'm not even asking. Right? I'm not even asking. This is what you chose for me, my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. I remember I mentioned this story before, but I'm saying it again. The grandson of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, the son of Asim bin Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he was, the story is about either him or about Asim, radiallahu anhu, himself, which is the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu. He was making tawaf, and he... it so happened also that Walid, Al-Walid bin Abdul Malik, the Bani Umayya Khalifa, he was also there for, he also came for Umrah, so he was making tawaf, and he recognized the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Asim bin Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and so he said to him, so as I said, the story is either about him or his son, so one of them. So he said to him, and he saw that his, you know, his condition, I mean, in the sense of, his clothes he was wearing and so on, it didn't look like he was, you know, obviously he was not wealthy, but it looked like he was kind of, you know, maybe in need. So he asked him, he made salam, he said, "Wa alaykum salam," he said, can I give you anything? You know, if you need anything, please ask me. So, this person, either it was Asim or his son, radiallahu anhuma, he looked at him and, you know, with irritation, and he said to him, "You are in the house of Allah, you are in the haram, you are making tawaf of Kaaba, you are telling me to ask you, why would I ask you?" So anyway, they finished tawaf and so on, they went out. Once they were outside the haram, outside the masjid, Al-Walid again asked him. He said, "Now we are not in the haram, we are outside the haram, so tell me, is there anything that you need? Let me know, I am very happy to give you. Whatever you want, right? I mean, this is the king. This is the Khalifa. So he says, tell me whatever you want. I am outside. I'm asking you. You're not asking me. I'm asking you to tell me. So please tell me." This Wali of Allah, he turns to him and he says, "You want me to ask you for what I need in this dunya?" He said, "I don't even ask the owner of this dunya for anything in this dunya. And you want me to ask you when you are not even the owner?" Eh? Now, alhamdulillah, my brothers and sisters, these are the mi'arat. These are the standards. These are the criteria for us to look at. Right? These are people. It's not haram to ask for anything in this life. Please do make dua. No problem. But I'm saying, we are looking at people who learnt this deen directly from Muhammad Rasulullah. He says, "You want me to ask you about things for this dunya when I don't even ask Allah for them. And Allah knows the dunya. Allah owns the dunya." He says, "I do not even ask the owner of the dunya for them. And you want me to ask you when you are not even the owner." Subhanallah. Many people, out of the goodness of their heart, they tell their friends and so on and so forth, "If you need anything, please ask me." Subhanallah, ajeeb. Ask you? Why would I ask you? Why would I ask you? Brothers and sisters, I don't know when I read this thing of this wonderful man, K.V. Barnard, and what he said, that one sentence. SubhanAllah, that sentence hit me. And here is an Orthodox Jewish man telling this, saying this thing. Ya Rab, how will we show our faces to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How will we show our faces to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Please read this, write up that comes with this. Sit and reflect. Think about this. And let us change our lives. Because the time is coming when we are going to face Allah. Let us make sure that on that day, we will not have to look bad. And we will not be humiliated before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When people like this are brought before them and say, well, here is a person who is not even Muslim, but he had this confidence in Allah. He had this confidence in the one he worshipped. To say that my life is a reflection and revelation of the dates of my Creator. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ